in this concluding session concerning the birth of Jesus Christ, let's take our Bibles and go to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. We saw from the birth record of Jesus that's recorded in Luke chapter 2 that the shepherds were watching their flock in a tilled field by night, which indicated the time after harvest but before winter time. In other words, in autumn, in the fall. Also corroborated by the enrollment, the registration that was participated in by people throughout the whole Roman Empire, which again points towards autumn, after harvest time, but before winter, would have facilitated this travel. And then also it being historically recorded that this enrollment, this registration, was done to honor Caesar Augustus in the year 2 BC, which was the 25th year of his reign, also the 750th anniversary of the Roman Empire, also Caesar Augustus' 60th birthday. So that points towards all of those records, point towards the fall of 3 BC as being the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, what we're going to look at here to get even more specific in its timing are some records that are recorded historically. In other words, records of history that aren't in the Bible, most notably from the Judean historian Josephus. And also we're going to look a little bit at some of the astronomical records that pertain to the timing of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, certainly I am not an historian, and I am not an astronomer, but I am a student of the Bible, and these other fields of history and astronomy do pertain to the timing of the birth of Jesus Christ. What is very key in understanding this is the death of Herod, which we read about in Matthew chapter 2. Remember, Herod wanted to come and supposedly worship the young child. So he told the Magi to find him and then let him know where he was. But really out of jealousy, he was desirous to murder the Christ. So Mary and Joseph, being warned of this, fled to Egypt, as we saw in our previous session. And then in Egypt, received word of the death of Herod. Now, there are different opinions amongst historians. I guess it's true of any field of endeavor that you get so-called experts that have so-called expertise, and then they wind up coming up with far different opinions. But one of the things that Josephus, the Judean historian, records is that there was an eclipse that occurred before the death of Herod. And so around this potential period of time of the birth of Jesus Christ, there were four different eclipses that occurred. And once again, this information is available if anybody is interested in going in greater detail than what I cover in this session. Particularly notable is the work of Ernest Martin, who published a book called The Star That Astonished the World, referring to the star that the Magi saw, the star that marked the birth of Jesus Christ. And also another book by Martin called The Birth of Jesus Christ Recalculated. Now, both those are notable and very contributive to understanding our particular topic. That material was the basis for helping Dr. Rurwohl work through this and publishing the book, Jesus Christ, Our Promised Seed. So if anybody is interested in going in greater detail, those books are wonderful resources that you can avail yourself of. But of these four different eclipses that occurred during this period of the potential birth dates of Jesus Christ, the one that fits most closely, that fits the bill as being the eclipse, occurred on January 9th in 1 BC. This also fits wonderfully. Remember that Herod, before his death, while he was still alive, had inquired diligently of the wise men what time they saw his star. And they relayed that information to Herod. And so later, after the Magi split, Herod, feeling like he was mocked of the Magi, had children that were 2 years and under put to death. So if Herod died in the spring of 1 BC, then, it fits very wonderfully that prior to that time, he would have calculated that the Christ would have been born any time 2 years previous. So that would put it, back from him making that decree in 2 BC, back any time in 2 BC, 3 BC, or even into 4 BC for him to make sure he got them. So the eclipse that came before the death of Herod was January 9th, 1 BC, and then Herod died later in that springtime. So again, this just points historically towards the year 3 BC, and we've already seen in work that it would have been in the fall of 3 BC. Now, on my website, muchword.com, we're posting each of these teachings, and I also had posted the star diagrams, six of them, that would have led up to the Magi traveling that long distance from Persia or ancient Babylon to Jerusalem. And when they finally got to Jerusalem and they asked, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" But as we saw in our previous session, they said, "We have seen his star in the east." And the word star used back then referred to any of the heavenly bodies, with the exception, of course, of the sun and moon. So in this instance, it was a direct reference to the planet Jupiter, or the king's planet. And what they saw in the east was a series of conjunctions, the first one being August 12th, 3 BC. And you can look at my website, and all these diagrams are there. But a conjunction of the king's planet Jupiter and the other planet in this conjunction being Venus in the constellation Leo, August 12th, 3 BC. And then the next month they saw the conjunction of Jupiter and Regulus, which was the most prominent star of the constellation Leo, had specific reference and symbology of the king. So the conjunction of Jupiter and Regulus in the constellation Leo on September 14th, 3 BC. Then in February of 2 BC, they again saw the conjunction of Jupiter and Regulus in Leo. Leo the lion, again representing the king. And then in May, the fourth time, May 8th, of 2 BC. They saw the conjunction of Jupiter and Regulus once again in Leo. Then the next month, they saw the conjunction of Jupiter and Venus in Leo in June, June 17th of 2 BC. And then finally, on August 27th in the year 2 BC, they saw a great massing of planets in Leo. It was the conjunction of Jupiter and Mars. But also in Leo, they saw Jupiter, Mars, Mercury, and Venus. Now, this is, you know, very probably this great repeated conjunction, six of them over a relatively short period of time, all in Leo, which represented to them the king's planet Jupiter, and often involving the king's star Regulus. This pointed them towards understanding that the king of the Judeans had been born. Now, I think also it should be noted that conjunctions happen a lot, and that conjunctions like this occurring is not absolutely so phenomenal that it would necessarily cause these men to pack up their caravan and head to Jerusalem. But let's remember the Spirit of God. How was it that the Magi, once they had come to Bethlehem, how is it they avoided being part of Herod's murderous plot, Herod's murderous rage against the Christ child? How was it? Well, because they were warned of God via the Spirit. They were warned of God. You know, these conjunctions are terrific to understand. But it's also terrific to understand that God works and that God shows people things. These Magi were convinced that the king of the Jews had been born. Certainly part of it was that they had seen his star in the east. That's what they said. And we've traced now, and we have diagrams available to you to show what these conjunctions that so grabbed their attention were. But let's remember the Spirit of God as being a part of this wonderful process to get the Magi to Bethlehem so that they could see the Christ child, that they could present these royal gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, when we get to Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12 is the record that tells us the specifics of when Jesus Christ was born. And again, this is scriptural evidence that needs to be harmonized with astronomical evidence, because what we're going to read is God's description of some of the astronomy that indicates exactly when his son, Jesus Christ, was born. Revelation chapter 12, it says in verse 1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." Like many other portions of the book of Revelation, This is quite astonishing, quite wild, if you will, symbology, and also a recounting of different events in the past, and also referring to some events that even in the Revelation period are still future. So it's important for us to work through this material because it speaks certainly of the coming of the birth of Jesus Christ. It also speaks very wonderfully back to where we started this study. Remember Genesis 3:15? I will put enmity or conflict between thee, the serpent, and the woman. That woman, you know, we've come to understand is Mary. And between thy seed, the seed of the serpent, and her seed, which is Christ. Remember Genesis 3:15, announcing God's plan of redemption, becomes the basis of understanding the rest of the Bible. Well, here, this talks about the conflict and how that the dragon, in the end of verse 4, stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. You know, all through the Old Testament, one of the great themes is how the devil, here referred to as the dragon, is trying to wipe out the Christ line. It's a part of the red thread that ties the Word of God together. Hey, what did he do once Jesus Christ was born? Well, he possessed an insane king named Herod to get all of the children in that part of Israel murdered. You know, the attempts of the adversaries at the Christ line, because he knows that if he could defeat the Christ line, he could defeat God's purposes. That's what this is speaking of. But the information that directly ties to the birth of Jesus Christ is in verse 1. Verse 1, when accurately understood, gives us wonderful information about the timing of Jesus Christ's birth. Revelation 12:1. It says, and there appeared a great wonder in where? Heaven. Now, heaven at times in the Bible can refer to the spiritual realm. It can refer to God who is in heaven. But here, this is talking about the heaven, the heavens as opposed to the earth. In other words, you know, a great wonder that appeared in the sky, you could think. And the word wonder is the word sign. Remember back in Genesis, God put the stars and the heavenly bodies, all of that in the heaven for signs and seasons to the earth. And part of that was God showing forth the plan of redemption in the stars, the witness of the stars. Well, here, this is talking about a great sign in heaven. And what is this sign in heaven? Well, it's a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Now, of the 12 constellations of the zodiac, there's only one that is a woman. Does anybody know what it is? You're right. It's Virgo. The one constellation of the 12 in the zodiac that's a woman is Virgo. So there's a great sign in heaven. A woman, Virgo, clothed with the sun. Now, this is very, very detailed, very, very wonderful. The sun has an elliptical pattern that it travels through the heavens. And anybody who's familiar with astronomy knows this. Now, there is a period of time each year where the sun passes through the constellation Virgo. In fact, it is a period of time that is 20 days of each year. So 20 out of the 365 days of the year, the sun passes through Virgo. And particularly it says she was clothed with the sun. Now, where do you wear your clothes? You wear your clothes basically from your neck down. So this is specific to, you know, the period of mid-body up to the neck of Virgo. And the sun is passing through that period clothing the woman. And this only occurs 20 days. Now, in the year 3 BC, and the way that, you know, astronomers figure this out is they have these machines where you can take it back in time and calculate what the skies looked like at any point in human history. But in the year 3 BC, this period of time where the sun was clothing the woman, Virgo, occurred between the dates of August 27th and September 15th. Okay, so we're narrowing it down. In the year 3 BC, between August 27th and September 15th is when the sun clothed Virgo. But then more specific information is given where it says, and the moon under her feet. Now, this occurred with the sun clothing Virgo and the moon under her feet. This occurred on only one day in the year 3 BC, and that one day is September 11th. And this event of the sun clothing the woman and the moon under her feet would have been observable in Palestine between what we would call sunset and moonset. And on the day of September 11th, the sun set at 6:18 p.m. and the moon set at 7:39 p.m. So you talk about specific information, not only from astronomy, but from the scripture. The woman Virgo being clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet occurred on one day of the year 3 BC, September 11th, for a period of 81 minutes between 6:18 p.m. and 7:39 p.m. This is corroborated by what we read in the birth record of Jesus. Remember, the shepherds were in the field watching over their flock by what? Night. Well, the birth of Jesus Christ occurred after sunset, before moonset, in this 81-minute period on September 11th, between 6:18 p.m. and 7:39 p.m. So that's corroborated by Luke chapter 2, verse 8, that the shepherds were watching their flock by night. Boy, you talk about the accuracy and integrity of God's Word. How the Word of God fits with a mathematical exactness and a scientific precision. Working through these records from history, from astronomy, but most notably and most significantly from the scripture, God gives us very specific information about the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, the other amazing thing is that September 11th, during the year 3 BC, corresponds to the Hebrew date of the first of Tishri. And the first of Tishri was the beginning of a new year. This was the Hebrew celebration of New Year's, Tishri 1. And part of this was that recorded in the Old Testament and the Law of Moses is that this was known to the Judeans as the Feast of Trumpets. What they would do to celebrate the new year is that they would get out and they'd blow trumpets to celebrate a new year, kind of like, you know, we do on January 1st, you know, New Year's Eve and January 1st. What do? We, you know, might blow horns and blow off firecrackers around here. People blow off their guns to celebrate. Well, you know, on this day in the year 3 BC, although the birth of Jesus Christ was largely unrecognized, there were only a handful of people that were anticipating it. And we've seen in this teaching series some of the notables. Most obviously, most significantly, Mary and Joseph. Boy, Mary was anticipating this. Joseph was anticipating this. The shepherds got to be a part of it and be the ones to observe the newborn Christ. But also the Magi. Also, Anna, also Simeon are very notably mentioned, but just a few. You know, most weren't, most didn't have a clue, most didn't recognize, most weren't anticipating. In fact, that generation of Israel was the one that later, about 30 years later, had Jesus Christ crucified. So most weren't believing, but some were. But God, in his infinite wisdom and his perfect timing, had set up centuries before that on this New Year's Day, Tishri 1, there would be a great celebration. There'd be blowing off, the blowing of trumpets to celebrate Tishri 1, the coming of the new year. And this year, on September 11th, 3 BC, it was celebrating the coming of Jesus Christ. The greatest event, what all of human history revolves around, the birth of Jesus Christ. He has come in the fullness of time. He has come born of a woman. Jesus Christ was born of Mary. His life was so blessed and stewarded by the parenting of not only Mary, but of his wonderful adoptive father, Joseph. And Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time to redeem Israel and to make sonship available to all mankind. So this is a great time, as all times are, to rejoice in the accomplishments of Jesus Christ.